is the Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Members of Concerned Catholics of Cincinnati, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priest or SNAP, and Cincinnati Voice of the Faithful wrote an op-ed in the Inquirer calling for an investigation into the Archdiocese of Cincinnati for its handling of former Father Jeffrey Giroux's rape case, which involves a minor. They claim there were complaints about Giroux spanning 30 years. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss this op-ed and their calls for changes to Ohio's law to protect children from abuse are Concerned Catholics of Cincinnati committee member Teresa Dinwiddie Herman. Teresa, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Child U.S. Advocacy Executive Director Catherine Robb. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you.
And we have SNAP Executive Director Zach Heiner. Zach, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's our pleasure to have you. I'll note that we did invite a representative from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati to join us. They declined to be on the program, but they did submit a response, which we'll address later. I'll start this conversation by reading a little bit from this op-ed that was published in the Inquirer. Quote, today, former Father Giroux is in jail awaiting trial, and the Archdiocese seems to be doing business as usual. Former Auxiliary Bishop Binzer is now Bishop Emeritus and celebrated Mass opening Catholic Schools Week. Archdiocesan information is still filled with inaccuracies and omissions. It conducts audits to measure compliance, but only at parishes and schools suggested by the Archdiocese. It hides private files from public scrutiny until law enforcement pries them open, as is being done right now in dioceses across the country. Teresa, let's start with you. You're using some strong words there, some strong accusations about the way the Archdiocese is conducting itself. Share some of your feelings about what brought you all together to publish this op-ed against the way you see the Archdiocese operating.
Sure. So I am a member of the parish St. Ignatius. And as you know, last year, our priest was arrested and indicted on 9 counts of rape. And I gathered myself, well, I actually found a couple other very concerned moms, and we just started digging for information just because it just did not seem right. And once we realized that he had been investigated by local law enforcement, and while was being investigated, was still allowed to be around children, and that just seemed crazy to us. If it were a local school teacher or if it were a manager in a corporation, it just doesn't seem that that would be the same. So we felt failed by our church leaders for sure.
Zach Heiner is with Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priest or SNAP. And Zach, why do you think we're still talking about sex abuse allegations or actual accurate conclusions involving Catholic priests?
I think that we're still talking about this because, you know, despite what we hear from church officials about how abuse is historic, this is a problem from the 1970s and 80s, et cetera, we know that that's not the case. It's happening today. It's happening across the country. Unfortunately, Cincinnati is not unique. And I believe that the biggest reason for that is because the church is a essentially all-male, monarchical, hierarchical institution in which bishops are really princes of their own little kingdoms and are not really beholden to anyone other than themselves and their leaders in Rome. So when you have a situation where a local prosecutor tells the archdiocese, hey, you know, there's not a crime here, but we're concerned about this man, you should watch over him, and they don't do it, there is no accountability. There's nothing that happens. You know, in this situation, as we've seen, you know, Bishop Binzer bears the brunt of the responsibility, and Father Jeff Giroux is going to jail. But what's changing? You know, what's happening as a result of this? And I think that the inaction from church hierarchs is why this is continuing to be an international issue.
We'll note that Father Jeff Giroux was ultimately accused of raping an altar boy. Auxiliary Bishop Joseph R. Binzer, former Auxiliary Bishop Joseph R. Binzer, had resigned from his leadership post over his handling of that case. According to reporting from the Inquirer, quote, Binzer had also served as priest personnel director, but Archbishop Daniel Schnur removed him from that role last year after he failed to bring past concerns about the Reverend Jeffrey Giroux's conduct to the attention of Archbishop Dennis Schnur. I said Daniel Schnur, forgive me, Dennis Schnur. and the Priest Personnel Board. So here we are again discussing this case and what is perceived to be a lack of change in the way the Archdiocese conducts itself. Let's bring in Catherine Robb. She's the Executive Director of Child U.S. Advocacy. You participated in, I'm sorry, you're not a part of the op-ed authorship, but share your feelings about what we're discussing today.
Oh, that's right. Well, first of all, hats off to these families and parents that are really doing the job that the church and other institutions should be doing. And to Zach's point, really allowing bishops and churches to self-account is very much like having the fox watching the hen house. And, you know, when this story first broke about Theodore McCarrick, the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops said that to the effect of holding the church and each one of the bishops accountable on the ways that they have failed their responsibilities to our Lord and to our people of God. What I would say to that is that would also be the good people of Ohio, and that really it must be the lawmakers. It must be law enforcement, the legislative body that responds to this and changes its laws so that the children of Ohio are safer. And the only way they're going to be safer is if there is full transparency, full accountability, forcing institutions, not just the Catholic Church, many other organizations and institutions. In fact, the Catholic Church is a very small part of this pie, but forcing them to clean house, to do the right thing, and to make kids safer.
We reached out to the Archdiocese of Cincinnati and invited a representative onto this program. They declined that request but released a written comment in which they state in part, quote, "The Archdiocese of Cincinnati is disappointed with the publication of an op-ed with erroneous facts in the article." The Archdiocese goes on to state that the op-ed is inaccurate in saying archdiocesan information is still filled with inaccuracies and omissions, and that this line is also factually inaccurate. Quote, "It conducts audits to measure compliance, but only at parishes and schools suggested by the Archdiocese." We have the Archdiocese's full response posted on our website at wvxu.org inside the Cincinnati edition tab. Teresa, the Archdiocese did identify some, I guess, editing errors, perhaps. Father Jeff Drew, for example, right, was arraigned in August of 2020, not July 2020. They say that you misstated the title of Archbishop Benzer, saying he's a bishop, not an archbishop, of course, and that he was not Bishop Emeritus at the time of his Catholic Schools Week Mass in January of this year. He resigned as auxiliary bishop in May of this year, at which time, quote, canon law of the church confers the title Bishop Emeritus. But those are more editing errors, I suppose. But what do you think about their response to some of these harder accusations that you all throw out?
I think it is a perfect example of emphasis being in the wrong place. And it is a perfect example of the systemic issues that we have with our church leaders. Looking at those details and, you know, Benzer's title, as opposed to the fact that many families were really disappointed to see him participating in Catholic Schools Week when he made the decision, or he was part of the decision-making body, to have Drew around children after local law enforcement said that he shouldn't be trusted around children. So that's a huge issue. And when we, you know, have seen these issues and became very concerned, we realized that prosecutors don't have all of the correct tools that they need to get these predators. And that's the problem. And, you know, the audits that have been in place, our archdiocese passed those audits while Drew was being investigated. So there's a hole here. There's an issue. There's a child safety issue. And it's not just with the church. And that's what we realized through all of this, is our state is just so far behind in child protection. So we really need more help in that area.
I want to read another part of the op-ed that we're discussing today on the program. Quote, "Compounding the Catholic Church's failings, Ohio's laws tragically protect predators instead of children. Laws limit the time during which a survivor must report abuse. preventing an alleged second victim of Drew's from filing charges. In addition, there are no Ohio laws that specifically prohibit grooming behaviors. Zach, if that's all true, is Ohio unique in that respect? Are there states that Ohio could follow in order to address those perceived issues?
Ohio is not unique in that. But what we have seen over the past couple of years is more states around the union recognizing the realities of the barriers that survivors of sexual violence face trying to come forward. You know, the reality is that there is a significant lag for most victims and when they do come forward and report their abuse. And by that time, due to statute, you know, their chances for getting a case in a criminal court are typically closed. And beyond that, the only other option is civil court. And too often that is closed too. But we have seen revival windows opened in places like New York, in California, in Vermont, in New Jersey. And an opening that has not only allowed survivors to come forward and share their story publicly, but it's also gotten critical information in the hands of communities about hidden abusers who may be, you know, living in their areas unexpectedly, you know. And it is simply a way for more information to get out that parents and parishioners can use to protect themselves. So Ohio is not in a unique position here, but they are in a position now where there's, I think, compelling interest in multiple ways to give survivors a chance for that day in court, to focus efforts on protecting children and doing what we can to prevent future cases of abuse. So the time is ripe right now.
Catherine, perhaps you could share with us any thoughts you might have on the particular impact that being abused by someone in a position of authority, such as a religious institution, what kind of impact that has on a child victim and delaying the way they come forward?
Certainly. As a survivor of child sexual abuse myself, so personally, but also paying attention to the data and the science of traumatology, I think most folks listening probably have heard of adverse childhood experiences. And, you know, we're coming to understand the stress response in the brain. And without getting into too much medical detail, the fight and flight mode and what happens in scenarios where children are stressed, and essentially what happens is that fight or flight or freeze stress response releases adrenaline and cortisol into the body. And there's lots of scientific evidence and data that shows that these high levels of hormones are very damaging to the brain, especially the brains of children. It affects memory, concentration, decision-making. Now that, in effect, has additional effects of post-traumatic stress, educational challenges because of that poor memory, concentration, et cetera, sleep issues, later on substance abuse, behavioral issues, mental health issues, the stress of education, employability, and sadly, there is a high, very, very high rate of suicide among folks that are sexually assaulted as children. And then additionally, I might add, is that all of that cost to the victim, which, by the way, the some figures show it to be over $830,000 in the lifetime of one victim, in terms of the cost. But the cost now on the state, what this cost is on the state of Ohio, Medicaid, unemployment, social services, the burden on medical systems, educational systems, legal systems, law enforcement systems, social service systems, of course, and the penal system. Vast majority of people that are incarcerated are victims of child sexual abuse as well. So really, it's a tremendous burden. And, you know, just coming off your earlier topic, I've always thought of this as an epidemic. We have 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 13 boys. That is, overall, 13% of all kids will be sexually assaulted before they reach the age of 18. That is an epidemic.
And Teresa, you mentioned that you're a parishioner at St. Ignatius, where this story broke involving former Father Drew. What is life like in that parish now? Are you still an active member?
I am. The sense of community isn't as strong right now as, you know, not all of us are attending Mass in person. We are doing Mass online, and my children attend Sunday school. But there is very much still a strong sense of community, for sure. I think that's always been very strong in the parish, and I don't see that going away.
And I do want to conclude with you, Zach Heiner from Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priest. Again, we've been talking about this issue or similar issues, similar allegations for seemingly decades at this point, at least in the public and in the public conscience. Where do we go from here? Do you see any significant changes on the horizon?
I do, actually. I'm very hopeful about the future of this. And part of that comes from examples like Teresa and parishioners at places like St. Ignatius who banded together to demand answers, to use their collective voice and collective power. You know, I've often heard people say things like, the church is not the institution, the church is the people. And I believe that the more that parents and parishioners become educated about just how common sexual violence is within the church, we're going to see more people standing up to protect their children. So I think that this model here, as sad as it is that it has occurred, is something good for other parish communities around the country to look at and realize that, hey, they have the ability to demand answers from their institutional leaders. And I also think that in the past couple of years, you know, as I've referenced, we've seen more intervention from secular officials than we had for a long time. I think some of the deference that has been paid to church institutions is eroding because of just how common these stories really are, you know, and the intervention from attorneys general in places like Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in New Jersey. These are examples that the rest of the country needs to follow. And I think that when we have involvement from outside independent authorities who can go in and find things like hidden personnel files, we can really understand just what has gone wrong over these past few decades. And when we have that clear picture, then we know how to plot a path forward. Right now, we're doing so with half a map. We need the secular investigations to give us more.
Zach Heiner is Executive Director of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priest, or SNAP. Catherine Robb is the Executive Director of Child U.S. Advocacy. And Teresa Denwitty-Herman is with Concerned Catholics of Cincinnati. Thanks to all of you for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.